As a parent, you know it's not just baby talk.
Somebody's hungry.
So talk with your baby's doctor about invasive pneumococcal disease, or IPD, and ask how Prevnar 20 pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine can help protect them. Children under 2 are at increased risk, but Prevnar 20 can help them develop more immunity to 20 strains of bacteria that cause IPD.
Prevnar 20 is approved for children 6 weeks and older to help prevent infections from 20 strains of bacteria that cause invasive pneumococcal disease. Do not get Prevnar 20 if your child has had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Those with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Talk to your healthcare provider before vaccination if your baby was born prematurely. Side effects may include irritability, pain, redness, swelling at the injection site, drowsiness, muscle pain, decreased appetite, headache, and fever. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask about Prevnar 20 for your baby. Visit askforprevnar20.com.
Want to be more active this winter? Sierra helps you save on everything from skis to snow boots, sleds to scarves. And if you still don't want to go outside, you can always move somewhere warmer. Sierra, let's get moving to your local store, like now. Go!
All right, welcome back to the Survival and Basic Badass Podcast, Kevin and Chuck. Today, well, we're going to talk about Faraday cages. And I got to say, there's a lot going on, so kind of buckle up. Kevin, first of all, why do you need a Faraday cage? Go ahead.
We did a big show last week, right, about EMPs. So, you know, this is kind of a follow-up, a part two, if you will, to last week's episode. And this is, last week we talked about EMPs. This episode we're going to talk about how to protect from them.
Exactly. Basically, you know, the world could end and you could be screwed and not have anything. Well, you could not have anything if you don't plan. So that's really what it comes down to. So as preppers, we're always looking for the next solution, right? And that's what it comes down to. So a Faraday cage, Kevin, how'd they all come to be? Like, how does it even work? What's going on there?
Right. So it's named after Michael Faraday, who is a nerd from the 1800s. He basically invented the dynamo, electric generator, electric motor, a bunch of stuff, chemistry and electromagnetism were his things. And he had a lot of inventions. Ultimately though, what you want to do is make a way to conduct the electromagnetic pulse around your stuff versus through it.
Right. And that's what we're doing, is we're protecting against the EMP or a solar flare. I mean, either way, it's an electromagnetic pulse that we're trying to protect against. Mm-hmm. And basically imagine, you know, I mean, think of it like the image I think would be like, think of radiation. You know, it's not radiation, but it's electrons, right? Or maybe mm-hmm. it is radiation. I don't know. I'm not a scientist. But
it's kind of both.
Bottom line, yeah. It gets bombarded with charged electrons, right? Mm-hmm. And so basically we're looking for a way to shield it so that those electrons spread out around the Faraday cage. Mm-hmm. And that's the idea. Now, obviously, everything we talk about is relative to how close you are to the blast kind of thing, how close you are to the source of the, you know, the disruption. And, you know, if you're right there, even the most protected stuff might get damaged. If you're far away, you know, having it in the shed might be enough. You know, that's kind of what it comes down to,
right?
Is it's all, you know, it's all relative to where you are. But obviously, as a prepper, you do the best you can.
Now, yeah, and I've even heard that having a metal roof that's grounded can protect if it's not, like, if you're not very close to the.
Again, it's how source. Close, yep. You know, if you're in the main blast area, but it really kind of, you know, as we discussed last week, doesn't matter if the whole grid goes down, you're kind of SOL, right. You know, with the whole thing anyway. So it's all kind of relative. But so basically, we're going to talk about how to build a Faraday cage. And towards the end of the episode or the second half, we're going to talk about things you might want to put in it. And there's a lot of things, some things you might not think about that really could make the difference and be the game changer. Blue metal roof, right? Hawaii, it kept you from the lasers. Mm-hmm. Maybe it could keep you from, you know,
the space lasers, all that stuff. Yeah.
That kind of goes down to that conspiracy theory, maybe. I don't know. But all right. So any more on the Faraday cage? It's just basically a closed metal box, or what?
Well, let's talk about a couple of things that are kind of Faraday cages right off the bat. Cars and airplanes. If you're inside the car or the airplane, that's going to afford you some protection. Things that aren't going to be protected are like wireless door locks in your car. If your car is locked while you're driving, you might have to manually pull the little thing up to get out.
Ooh, that's hard.
Terrible. GPS systems and radios, that they're out. And any Wi-Fi stuff that you have, you know, if you have your phone connected to your car or something like that, it's going to disrupt that.
So you're saying having an antenna might actually absorb the charged ions.
I mean, ultimately, you know how, you know, cars with the rubber tires, you know, you're safe from lightning, and it's kind of the same sort of situation. Now, if you have, you know, delicate chips in your car, like a lot of cars do, you're out of luck. I've heard two different things about like electric cars. One, that you're just out of luck, and two, that they are protected. So I don't know which one's accurate there. Another thing that people use are booster bags, which I've never really heard of until I started reading up on it. It's basically a shopping bag that you have lined with aluminum foil, and you can use that to like steal stuff that are, you know, that are
get rid of the RFID
ID that, chips
and beeps when you go out the door.
Yeah, it'll keep that alarm from setting off, you know, if you want to shoplift stuff.
So that my Patriot Supply, and I may actually have some kind of affiliate thing for them, but honestly, I don't even think I do. So I'm just giving you guys this because I'm a nice guy. That's the whole thing. Mm-hmm. They make something called a like EMP Faraday bag, and it's not the most attractive of all backpacks, although they brag that it's waterproof and it's going to keep your stuff safe. I would say if you were making a go bag and you had all kinds of like night vision or thermal or something cool, might be a cool thing to throw in the car, you know, and they're like $50 for my Patriot Supply, so they're not a big deal. That could be a Black Friday thing that's happening right now. I don't really know. I know it's $50 right now. I can't tell you what tomorrow brings. But yeah, so something like that, there's a lot of companies that sell EMP bags. Again, kind of like when we talked about EMP Shield last week, you want to make sure that it's actually, you know, a company that's been tested and legitimate, and it's actually going to protect. You know, I know a lot of people have those ESD bags, the electrostatic bags, and they, you know, protect circuit boards when they come new, and people will just keep those. And I've seen people sell those on the internet as EMP proof. And honestly, I just don't know. I don't know that they're tested to any level. And I think it really does depend, you know, again, back to the how close you are and how good of a bag you got, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, you know, there's Faraday suits. I was just reading about that linemen use to keep from getting fried. There's a couple of interesting little things here. Elevators, obviously, you know, a lot of the time, if you've ever used an elevator, your cell phone doesn't work in there. They warn firefighters about the same thing, like their radio and their comms won't work if they use the elevator.
Yes, okay. So that's kind of thing. I mean, like anywhere that, you know, your cell phone, and I don't mean because you're far away from the tower,
right?
But if you walk in your house and your cell phone stops working, well, there's a chance that your stuff in the house is going to be more protected than the other guy.
Right.
You know, that's the bottom line. Yeah. So you want to kind of jump into a Faraday cage, or you got a little bit more here?
Yeah, let's talk about building one for
all right,
for fun and profit.
So the simple easy Faraday cage is a metal garbage can.
Right.
You know, we did a video where we actually like put it together and stuff, but I could definitely show you guys what I got. So you can buy the big metal garbage cans, or you can buy those small, I don't even know what size.
Yeah, it looks like 5-10 gallon there.
Probably 3 to 5 gallon.
Yeah.
You know, and they sell those at Lowe's and Tractor Supplies. It says 6 gallons.
Yeah.
And they sell those at Lowe's and Tractor Supply. Now, the deal is metal garbage can. Now, anywhere that you have a handle or a lid, right? If you have a handle, there's going to be holes put in there. And you want to put foil tape over those holes or the seam down the side if there's a crack. Again, it's levels of protection. If you just had it with the lid on, might be okay. Mm-hmm. But if you're closer to the source, you're going to want foil tape sealing that lid all the way around. And, you know, why wouldn't you put that little extra effort into, you know, sealing it up?
Yeah. And make, yeah. Right? And, you know, you could even just wrap aluminum foil around the, you know, around any of the places. It's
got to be a really good seal. Now,
it's going to have to be tight. Now, they also sell some gaskets that are all metal. I saw them. They're like really expensive. Yeah, they're really expensive.
They do,
but
like
they do
a metal
work.
Mesh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen people make rooms out of this where it's kind of like a screen material that they do. And they put a mesh around it. And but bottom line, if you seal it up completely with metal, so the garbage can, the foil tape, you're going to be good. I will say, if I was planning it out, I would probably go to a bigger one. I have the 6 gallon, and I have most of the basic electronic stuff that I want in there. But, you know, being the master prepper that I am, right? Because, who's not the authority if not me, right? but anyway, so I would actually go to the bigger garbage can at this point because, you know, my supplies have increased and whatever over the years.
Right.
And I have enough extra that I want to go in there. So now let's kind of dig into, if you want, I will actually put a link with this video to the actual build video. And then we'll put a link from that to what to put in it. In addition, that we made way back, they're like 10 minutes short, kind of how to put together, won't waste your time, but you can see specific, you know, detailed instructions. I mean, bottom line, there's not much to it. It's a garbage can with foil tape, right? And you're sealing all the openings. We tested it, but go on.
Yeah. One of the comments Uncle Whiskey said, lining it with Flexi on the inside. That does bring up a good point, though, that you don't want those electronics touching the actual metal. You want some sort of a barrier.
Yes.
It can just be a spacer. You know, I used cardboard and that worked. Flexi would work. I mean, that seems like something that would be an insulator. You just want to have something that it's not directly touching the metal.
So we can actually crack open mine. What I did is I actually put a paper bag on the inside and kind of folded everything in it.
Right.
Once again, it's one more layer of protection. If you didn't do it, wouldn't be the end of the world, but it could be, you know?
Right. Right. So, I mean, that might be the extra, you know, barrier you need. And I did the same thing that Chuck did. I wrapped everything in foil and put it in the metal can.
And then I went one step further and I have them in those like ESD bags. I think somebody sold these as like EMP proof bags, but I didn't really trust it. So, again, that was like some guy off eBay, but back in the day before you had 20 companies out there making, you know, government tested and whatever.
I've heard varying things, but you know, one of the ways that you can test your Faraday cage is you can put your cell phone in there. If your cell phone doesn't ring, good chances that it's working. But you know, that's not a guarantee. You know, it can be a control, a way to test it, but it's not a not just because your cell phone doesn't have any signal doesn't mean things in there can't get damaged.
Exactly.
You know, one thing that works good is a if you didn't want to use a metal trash can, you can use an ammo box, one of those metal ammo boxes. So, you know, it's easy enough to build. You can, like Chuck said, we'll have a link on there. But there is stuff that you want to keep in there that you want to keep keep safe. So what are the things that you're going to put in a Faraday cage? You know, obviously you're going to want to start out with some basic stuff. You're going to want to start up with some basic stuff like radios, some communication stuff. A weather radio is, you know, something great, something that's going to give you like alerts and broadcasts like that. A lot of basic radios are going to be damaged. Your car, you might hop in your car and be like, well, the power grid's out, but I can start my car. But the radio might not work in the car. The radio might have been damaged from an EMP. some of the other stuff that can work in a pinch is microwave ovens. They basically are a Faraday cage. Some refrigerators, no. If your refrigerator doesn't seal perfectly, which a lot of refrigerators don't, then it's not gonna work very well.
Yeah. No, the gaskets and stuff. Yeah, it's all it's all questionable. But again, it's 100% better than nothing, you know? Mm-hmm. So one thing like big to me was I did the Motorola talk about radios.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like having comms after an event like that is gonna be huge, right?
Right.
That's gonna be like a number one, you know, game changer. I mean, well, I would say number one would be a thermal scope. Number two would be night vision. Number three would be comms.
Right.
To me, those are, you know, force multipliers by a million times. But imagine if you could have a guy out at the end of the block who is even a mile away, right?
Mm-hmm.
And could call and say, hey, you know, there's a big angry mob coming to loot and looking like they're causing trouble. And alerting people to get everybody in the position and whatever versus having to send a runner, which again is just an extra person who just has to sit there all the time.
Right.
To be able to, and real time feedback, even if you have a runner going back and forth a mile over and over again,
mm-hmm.
you're not getting real time feedback.
Right.
So that's, you know, that's going to be huge. Another thing. So I threw a bunch of like kind of inexpensive, but I've actually tested and used and was really happy with some inexpensive, like $45, you know, red dot sights for the mm-hmm. AR.
Right.
There are things that I've used and put in real life practice. I have those CR123 batteries. I have them where they're actually rechargeable and it plugs in the side with a little USB cable. I have battery chargers and batteries. They're going to be huge. I have a million little solar chargers for batteries, things that mm-hmm. you can, you know, just throw in there. That's something that would be, you know, beneficial. I have like power strip batteries that are going to, you know, I can plug into a solar panel. That's something you might want to think about. I also found to be pretty awesome is a lot of companies, and these are small, these are more for like the go bag and stuff, but the little solar packs that are like a flashlight and they end up, you know.
Yeah. And those things are really inexpensive. I think it was $20 when I bought one right. of those, and that was a couple of years ago. So maybe 25, 30 now. But they're really cheap and they work really well. You know, if you just set it on your dashboard or set it outside, that those things will charge up real fast. And plug it into your phone and you've got at least one or two full charges off of, you know, off of those things.
Yeah. And then, Kevin, I did like a hand crank you know, little NOAA radio.
Yep.
Something that, you know, again, it's one more thing. Obviously, the level of radio that you get, you know, it matters. You can do better and better. You can do all kinds of solar chargers. Another thing, Harbor Freight always has that $5 multimeter. If you're setting up solar or something, throwing one of those in the bag, that's huge. You know, it's going to make the difference.
Right.
I had all kinds of crap in here, dude.
Now, most if you have solar panels on your roof or, you know, somewhere in your yard, those things are not going to be damaged by an EMP. However, the first thing that solar power goes to, you know, the first battery, the first connection, that might be damaged because the solar panels are designed to collect electricity and it will transfer that power right into your house. And it can definitely blow some breakers. It could definitely set some stuff off.
Do you guys know what your solar panels plug into? They plug into a charge controller.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't have a charge controller, it kind of sucks. So that might be something you want to put in the bag. Definitely, right. If you have solar panels and you have some kind of setup, you want some kind of charge controller as a backup in the Faraday cage. I will also say, if your plan is, hey, there's like 20 solar farms within 5 miles of my house, and I'm just going to go steal those panels from over there. I'm not saying that's what my plan is. I'm saying if that was your plan, then you would need a charge controller to accommodate that. And you'd want that protected in your Faraday cage. Another thing when you're setting up your solar would be a inverter that is going to take your DC and make it 120. That's something to think about and something that you would need protected in your Faraday cage. Another thing, you know, a lot of preppers, big in the ham radio world. That's something you want to consider. Let me see. So something like that, you might want your Bofang ham radio. That's nice and cheap. Obviously, the more involved, you know, as people do the ham radio thing, you find that you start out with something cheap and then you get a little more impressive and a little better. Maybe keep the one that's not your main go-to as a backup. You move it into the Faraday cage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the whole thing. You want something in addition. I always use when I'm hunting, I love the Walker headsets. They basically have like a little microphone, so it hears everything outside around you, but then it muffles your ear and it has like noise canceling kind of when you shoot the gun. I got to say it's a game changer when you're hunting because I can hear like every footfall from like 100 yards away of the deer stepping in. Like, no joke, when I'm sitting in the tree stand, it's like, you know, all coming through. I'm like, oh, dude, that guy's, yeah, he's walking in, you know, no problem. And then half the time it's a squirrel because, you know, that's how it always is. But the other half, you know, it's the deer. But the bottom line is the deer don't sneak up on you. So I love those and I like them so much that they have a set that actually made it into the Faraday cage. And I talked about those Motorola talkabouts. Well, Walker actually sells these mic headsets that will connect to your, you know, earmuffs or whatever, so that you can have it kind of on the go. Now, those are like another 30 or 40 bucks. I don't remember exactly, but they're kind of an expensive item. So I only have one, you know, one headset and one like, you know, speaker, you know, something so I can actually talk and use it like a radio transceiver, I guess is what you would call it. That's something to, you know, think about. You know, again, it's all your budget, right? I have about 10 of those radios, the talkabouts in my bag. To me, that's huge. Like I said, being able to, you know, go around to your neighbors, whether it's an EMP, an economic collapse or anything, to say, hey, put one of these in your house. And, you know, if somebody comes and gives you trouble, give me a call and we can kind of have some kind of mutual assistance. right. something like that. That's huge. You know, and they're typically line of sight. I mean, you know, they brag like 14 miles. Well, yeah, if you're, you know,
but, mountaintop to mountaintop. Yeah.
But bottom line, in your little neighborhood of, you know, 2 square miles or something, they are going to work and they're going to be great. And even you can have somebody out, you know, working in the field and somebody in the house and a guy up the road, and he can say, hey, you know, this is going on and you might want to. Now, the trick is to not do a podcast episode where you show everybody all your stuff in your Faraday cage at the same time that an EMP happens, because that would be
because now all your stuff's out.
Embarrassing. And you're like, wait, I had like $500 worth of stuff in there and now it's all gone. And, you know, it sucks to have that much gear tied up where it's not being used, you know, and you don't have access to it. And, you know, it's frustrating, but it's one of those things as you build up your preps and, you know, you get more involved in things and more committed to the idea of being prepared. And again, it's kind of like life, you know, it's, you know, I obviously have a lot more stuff, more land, more cars, more different things than I did when I was 20. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the guy at phase one of his life versus the guy at the end phase of his life has a different amount of things that you've built up over time.
Right.
And, you know, and times like Black Friday and, you know, Cyber Monday, things like that, those are good times to, you know, stock up and prepare. This isn't something you go and do all at once unless it's, you know, gear you've been collecting. You know, and you're already ready to do it. But if you start slowly adding and putting that stuff, now I will say some additional protections that I would do is like mine. I actually keep my Faraday cage inside a metal shed. And even crazier than that, I actually have one of those job boxes from a pickup that I don't put in my pickup because it's, I actually used it when I moved from New York to North Carolina. I wanted something that I could carry 50 guns and put a padlock on it and not have them in the back seat of my pickup and get, you know, everybody all riled up driving through all those communist states, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
And so, you know, I wanted a way to do that. So I bought that pickup box, but the bottom line, I stick my Faraday cage inside that box. And I will say, if you look at like Facebook yard sale or Craigslist or something like that, those boxes are $100-$150 kind of all day long.
Yeah, you can get a used one pretty cheap.
Again, I don't make that additional step of like taping that up. If that was the only thing I was using, I would foil tape all those edges and everything. But again, I have this garbage can inside that, inside a shed. So it's redundancy after redundancy. Because that's kind of that whole prepper motto, you know, of you know, building
two is one, one is none.
That's it. I don't know. So, yeah, a lot of cool things. You know, we talked about the radios. Did you see anything in the comments that you needed to mention as far as stuff?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about Slow Burn and mention those driveway alarms. That's a really good idea. I never even thought of that. Putting some of those in your Faraday box so you can set them up around your neighborhood or even just on your driveway if you got a long run. You know, something to let you know if somebody's coming ahead of time. I had a friend of mine that smoked large amounts of marijuana at his house in a state that it was very much illegal. And he had it set up in his yard so when the school bus came to drop his kids off, the bus driver didn't see him smoking weed. He could hide everything before the bus pulled up. I, you know, whatever, different strokes, but I mean, it is a good head start to know that somebody's going to be at your house before they're knocking on your door.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the sort of thing though, that, you know, these basic things that we take for granted every day, will be a massive advantage if you have them and nobody else does. Also, it's going to give you a little bit of a head start in a situation, you know, when things go sideways, at least, you know, you have a few things that you can rely on. You know, you have walkie talkies, you have a radio, you have, you know, some of the basic like electronics that you want to use. One of the people I'd mentioned an MP3 player, you know, I don't even know if those are iPods or I don't even know if those are real things anymore. You know what I mean? You just use your cell phone for that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But having a bunch of information
right
stored on an electronic right device.
A lot
like
of
that
people do like useful. A lot of, well, one, I mean, for keeping sanity, you know, what about the old, like, dude, honestly, a lot of us have bought those, you know, again, Black Friday, you always seem to Amazon always has those Fire tablets for like $29. You know, they mm-hmm. have the like cheap older version or whatever, you know, if you're, I don't know, what are they like 10 or something right now? I don't know. But like, I know I have like a Fire 7 or something like that. You know, again, I've moved on. Now I have an iPad that I have at work or whatever that, because I don't have internet, whatever. We won't talk about why I'm watching Netflix and Amazon Prime at work or, you know, Hulu and
yeah, Paramount. We're not going to mention
that. You know, you need those things like to get through the workday, right? I mean, mm-hmm. I'm just saying, like in a movie, you know, people.
Hypothetically, yeah.
Right, hypothetically. Right. So, but anyway, so you have the old one. You load it up with all these PDFs of how-to manuals, that kind of thing, but also having some movies on there, some, you know, some music or something that maybe that helps keep the sanity in the family. You know, mm-hmm. people think everything's going to be like Rambo Commando stuff, you know, in the apocalypse, and maybe you need to keep everybody from crying and, you know, falling out.
Right. Right. I mean, I know a lot of those types of situations, people go, you know, off grid. You know, I'm into that sort of stuff. I watch TV shows and all that sort of, you know, sort of thing. But one of the things is a lot of people don't think about how much time they spend watching TV, listening to the radio, doing all sorts of, you know, all sorts of stuff that modern life affords us. But, you know, having some books, having some basic stuff just around your house, not in your Faraday cage, like actual books made out of paper and stuff. Those ones.
Do they make those anymore?
They well, not really, but you can, if you go to the library, they're just giving
they
away.
Have them.
You can just go over there.
Don't return
these books away. Here's an entire box. Right now, they're not, you know, they're not valuable anymore. Try and donate some books to your library. They'd be like, yeah, just stick it in the back somewhere. I don't know.
They don't even want to say that. Sometimes they're like, you're not bringing that in here.
Don't leave your garbage here.
Nope. No books here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, it's a crazy world we live in that, you know, they don't want libraries or don't want books anymore. But OPSEC after the event, blackout curtains and soundproofing. I like it.
Yeah.
When you open your Faraday cage, you don't want to advertise.
I was talking to a friend of mine. And, you know, he's not really a prepper, but he's, you know, he's a reasonable individual. And he is talking about EMPs. He actually brought it up. It's not just me being crazy and
you're
talking about this stuff all the time. But he's like, you know, everybody else is out of power and you have lights on, they're going to come to your house.
Yeah.
He goes, and are you going to turn those people away? He goes, of course not. You know, I'm a good Christian guy. And it's like, yeah, maybe not the first two people or the first 10 people. But, you know, after you got 20 or 30 people showing up, that's not your stuff anymore. It's their stuff. And they're going to take it from you.
It's not going to end well. Mm-hmm. I actually completed a project just the other day. So this is a first for me. So I have a room in a old farmhouse thing that we have that I do like little repair work, right? And I don't leave good things over there because it's not the most secure building, but I've been trying to step up my game of, you know, securing it.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, this one room, I decided to make like the fortress in the one room and, you know, where I keep my stuff so I can start to feel a little more comfortable. Like, oh, I pulled that old shotgun apart. I can leave all the parts on the table and not have to bring them back into my house and lock them up at the end of the day. You know, mm-hmm. little things. I'm not leaving the whole gun collection over there or you know, something that's going to be a problem, but little things I don't want to have to think about. So anyway, has these old farm windows, whatever. I have access to a lot of free plywood from where I work, and I ended up painting them black and putting them up over the window. So you look at the window, you just see black and it just looks like normal shadows. Mm. I got to say, I went up to it and you can get within like 7 feet before you realize it's there's something wrong with the window, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, you have to be right there kind of looking in, and then you're like, wait a minute, this isn't right. Because, you know, they're old windows, so they're kind of cloudy anyway, and, mm-hmm. you know, it's iffy. And then I just painted it black, and then inside the room it's white, so I just painted the backside white and mm-hmm. went right around. But that way they're screwed in, it's all secure, and then I threw a deadbolt on the door, and, you know, everything's just kind of locked into the one room. And but it also affords me, just like you know, Uncle Whiskey had mentioned, I think, that you can have complete darkness. You know, you can go in there and I can turn on a bright light at night. And I actually went out and checked it out, and you don't see anything, you know, coming right. from that room. So you mm-hmm. don't know if you're breaking in, if you're going to open the door. And there I am sitting there gunsmithing. Mm-hmm. And you're like,
right,
oh,
with all the
shit,
lights on,
this is awkward. Right,
to go, yeah,
right. And I'm ready to go, and you got a problem. So, you know, that's something you want to consider. You know, you could do things like that. Is mm-hmm. you know, you could have the basement, you could have the areas, but really, do you need light at nighttime, or can you kind of learn to work with things? You know, that's
right.
You need to understand the world that you live in. You know, people talk about, oh, I can't cook because they're going to smell my barbecue, you know, coming from up the road, and they're going to come kill me for it. Well, definitely there could be a season where that happens.
Right.
You know, you should have a backup plan. I will say chimneys go a long way with putting it up, with dissipating the smell of mm-hmm. things. You know, if you can kind of put it 10 feet up, or, you know, 12 feet up, whatever, It really does make a difference. But obviously, you know, people are going to smell smoke. I'm not, you know, I'm not in some fantasy world. I'm just saying you could do better for yourself than, you know, not, you might advertise to the half a mile around you instead of the mile around you, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think that a lot of that stuff, you know, a lot of that stuff is, what do they say? 10% of the work gets you 90% of the way there. You know, when it comes to prepping, that's really a lot of what I, you know, a lot of what I think. If you have a little Faraday cage and you've got some walkie-talkies in there and nothing else, that's a big jump start around everybody else, you know?
Yeah.
If you have, you know, 2 months worth of food versus 2 weeks worth of food, that's a big head start right there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of small stuff you can do as a prepper that isn't very expensive that can get you a mile ahead of everybody else. Just with some basic low-cost, you know, low-cost protection, low-cost, low-cost things.
Low investment.
Yeah. Right. So I think that,
Dakota Firehole. Oh,
yeah. Okay. I think a lot of that stuff is overlooked. You know, people say, oh, I need my 2 year supply from my Patriot Supply. I need my this and that. I need to, you know, have 15 guns and you know, 10,000 rounds of ammunition and all that sort of stuff. But
you do need that, just so you know. You do need to move to the country.
Yeah, but that's, you know, that's the second step. You can start at step one with some small investment and some basic planning and be way ahead of everybody else in these sorts of situations.
Nice. No, that's right. But yeah, no, actually back to the smokeless fire thing, but there is that whole Dakota fire hole. Mm-hmm. If you guys look it up, and they actually build it like right against a tree, it really does get you pretty smokeless and allows you to cook and do that kind of thing. Obviously, you know, if you start playing with fires and doing things outside, you start to learn that using dry wood and not burning leaves, things right. like that, you really can cut down the amount of smoke. But obviously, dripping some brisket fat, you know, in the fire while you're cooking, that's pretty hard to hide no matter how you do it. You know, right. not in some fantasy land. You know, I know Chris is always ham radio license. And that's the thing. It's always, you know, he had mentioned, you know, learning the ham radio instead of just throwing one in the Faraday cage. Getting a license and using it would make you comfortable and whatever. But that's honestly with anything prepping. That's go out and move your body outside in the, you know, if you, you know, never go outside the house and move, and all of a sudden you're expecting, oh yeah, I'm going to chop my own firewood and I'm going to whatever. Yeah. That's a dramatic change. If you think you're going to pick up a handgun and be a Navy SEAL, that's maybe something you want to practice a little bit beforehand.
Right.
You know, stamina is huge. You know, actually going out and moving and you know, getting your body used to kind of, you know, doing things is going to be a big game changer in the, you know, when times are tough and you're actually trying to protect your family and things. It's funny. We, in the comments from the EMP episode, somebody put about, well, I don't think this is practical and likely and, you know, whatever. I don't think that it's gonna, you know, ever happen. And, you know, I mean, we're all entitled to our opinion and it's a long shot, but I guess the world keeps changing. I don't think it's as long shot as, you know, just because something's never happened in your lifetime doesn't mean it can't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Countries go to war and things get bad. And in America, we've had it pretty cushy. We've not had anything, you know, on the homeland for a long time. You know, obviously September 11th was kind of a wake up call of, hey, people can attack us, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. And, you know, a lot of that stuff is you know, a lot of these EMP, these things are new technologies, right? But solar flares have happened before and have damaged equipment, you know, and there wasn't that much equipment, the Carrington event.
Right.
You know, it was took out, you know, some basic stuff, but they weren't running on an electric grid, right? They weren't running, you know, they weren't running cars and trains and buses and planes and all that sort of stuff that we use every day today, you know, television, electricity, electric heat, light, you know, that wasn't a big thing then, you know. They were prepared. They knew what they were doing. They had candles. They had lamps. They had, you know, all that sort of stuff. But, you know, today we're not as prepared as people were, you know, to not use electricity when they weren't using electricity. You know, we're so accustomed to it now that, you know, the power goes out for 2 hours and it's a huge inconvenience. You know, our food in our refrigerator is going to go bad. Well, you know, maybe have some food that's stored up that's not, you don't need a refrigerator for, you know, maybe have some lighting situation set up that you don't need an electric grid for. You don't need to plug into the wall, have some things prepared. And, you know, when the lights do go out, maybe it won't be such a terrible event, even if it's for a day or two.
Yeah, no, exactly. You know, it's funny, as I was going through some of the comments while you were talking, I get a chance to look at them. I can't always follow it while I'm, you know, trying to talk and carry a continuous thought. And then at the same time, be reading. First time we did a live thing, it like kicked my ass. You know, I'm looking at the comments and trying to read and I'm like, oh, right. Hang on, I'm dumb. Hang on, I have to read for a minute. But. Yeah. One of the things, you know, somebody mentioned in the comments earlier, slow burn, I think, was, you know, job boxes and fuel transfer tanks, even like a 55-gallon drum, if you can seal it up, you know, different things like that. There are so many things, but think of a big metal box that you can seal. I got super excited that if you know, somebody had mentioned containers, which are awesome, you know, like 18 Connex boxes, 18 wheeler trailers.
Right.
You could seal that up. And they actually, I know there are companies out there that do make EMP proof kind of, you know, I've seen them. Now you're going to pay. I'm sure you could rig up something on your own that would be as effective for a substantially cheaper price. But one of the other things you could think about, I just put together a refrigerator. They're all closed up and we actually seal all the gaps with foil tape, you know, in the one that I have. That's another option. I mean, I bought one used for $500 for the wife's like flower farm thing. Turns out it works out really well for hanging deer in if you lived in a warmer climate. You know, sure, there might be fluids dripping into the flowers. But, you know, whatever. You got to be you. You know, you got to live your best life. That's what I say. So another thing, again, sponsor for the episode, EMP Shield. That's definitely something that could protect your car. You want to get home to that Faraday cage and all your supplies and all your stuff. EMP Shield, if you use code BADASS, it'll save you. I think it's about $50. I think the savings changes, you know, with different things, but depending what they have going on, but their stuff is actually tested, will work. It's been proven. I mean, that's the thing I was so worried about, you know, is that stuff really going to work? And it's tested. I really, before I was willing to, you know, promote it and talk about it, I wanted to make sure it was going to be something that's real. We obviously went a little more into detail about what it does for your vehicles or for your house in the last episode, but definitely worth checking them out. And they can save you some bucks if you use code BADASS. If you guys have show ideas, thoughts, concerns, email us at preppingbadass@gmail.com. We also, you know, we have an after show. You guys might want to stick around, see what we have to talk about. Some other good stuff going on. Make sure you check us out on YouTube. Make sure, you know, leave comments, like, subscribe, share it with your friends. We really appreciate it. Also, patreon.com/preppingbadass. Otherwise, I would say stay safe, and we'll talk to you guys next week.